This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and this is a discussion of Vaidhi Bhakti and the 64 limbs of devotion, talking about Sakyam. Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam is the 48th limb of devotion. And Rupa Goswami explains there's different levels of Sakyam. Sakyam that's based on the actual nature of the devotee, that he actually feels a friendly feeling. He feels the personal presence of the Lord, and he relates to him in a personal way. And this is actually an advanced limb of devotion. And there's another type of Sakyam, which is friendship based on faith. We have faith that the Lord is our friend. We believe it. The Shastras tell us that God is a friend of everyone, and we believe it, and we try to act that way. But we're not really aware of his friendship, because our devotion is not so developed. So he says there's two types of friendly feelings. But as one advances in devotion, then he actually perceives that the Lord who manifests before him at the level of Vaidhi Sadhana, the Lord manifests before him as the deity. In the beginning of bhakti, of Vaidhi Sadhaka, or beginning devotee, he thinks, yes, the Lord is my friend, but he doesn't really perceive it. But this is the second level of Sakyam. And he cites some reference here from Agastya Samhita. Parichaya parake chit prasadeshu chasherate manushyamiva tam drastum vyavahar tuncha bandhuvat. He said there are certain devotees who look upon a deity with an intense attachment, like a friend, such as one may feel towards a man in this world. Like we might have a very dear friend, girlfriend or boyfriend, and we have so much trust in them and faith in them and care for them. So one may feel like that towards a deity. This is a very elevated state, even of Vaidhi Sadhana. So when he has this type of friendship with the deity, then he's always absorbed in trying to render personal services. And he behaves with the deity like a friend. And maybe even, like sometimes you see the pujaris, they sleep right in the temple itself. I know that in Mayapur, the main pujaris are two twin brothers, my guru bhais, Jananivasa and Pankajangri. They're twins, and they're both devotees. So although they have an allotted room where they're supposed to stay, one Jananivas, he sleeps right outside the door in the deity room. Like a dog waits outside the master's house or his beck and call or whatever, guarding the master. So he sleeps, he has a little mat and he rolls it down and he sleeps right on the floor by the door. And so why do you sleep here? And he said, I just can't bear to be away from my Lord, and I feel this. I know we have a chokidar and everything's locked, but still I don't feel happy not being near the Lord. So he has a very intimate and friendly feeling towards the Lord. He's been serving Radha Madhava in Mayapur since 1973, I suppose. He and his brother. That's quite a long service record, day and night. From 3 in the morning till 11 at night. 35 years without fail. So he's a very advanced devotee. So he also exhibits this mood of friendship, or more. So then, this Sakyam, because we say Sakyam, and also there's Sakyam in Vaidhi Sadhana, which means the beginner devotee, then there's also Sakyam in Raghunuga Sadhana, and there's Sakyam in Bhava Bhakti, where one actually feels, that's when one, in level of Bhav, then one begins to realize his eternal spiritual form, and his eternal spiritual rasa, what's called Stahi Bhav, his eternal loving mood towards the Lord, just like we may pick one woman in this world, at least in Hindu culture. We may take one woman in this world at the age of 20 and spend the next 60 years of that woman considering her to be our wife. And then we have what's called conjugal relationship with that woman and man. And that's fixed, and there's no one else, and that's how it stays in this life. That becomes a fixed, a permanent devote, a permanent mellow of relationship. So every atma has a permanent mellow of relationship with Krishna. This becomes understood by the mercy of Guru and by the process of devotional development. One understands what is their permanent relationship with that one person. It may be also in conjugal mellow or sakya ras friendship, or like a parent, feeling of fatherhood or motherhood towards the Lord, Gopal, Vatsalya Bhav. And that not only lasts for this life, but for every life and forever. And when one realizes that relationship, then he relates with the Lord primarily in that relationship. But just like, for example, the husband and wife have a conjugal relationship, which, of course, is the most intimate emotional, physical relationship amongst couples. But that doesn't exclude the fact that they can also be friendly towards each other. That would make a better relationship also. So they act like friends. And sometimes they, even one acts like the master, the other acts like the servant. Or even one acts like a mother. I've met many people, especially in India, where the husband calls his wife mother or mata or something. He relates sometimes, especially in older age. The husbands sometimes relate to their wives like they're their mothers. Because that's a fact in the Madhurya Ras or Madhurya relationship. All the flavors and expressions of motherhood and friendship and servitude are also included there. But the primary relationship, of course, is conjugal. And that has its unique aspects which are not available from one's mother, father, friends, or servants. So in the same way with God, if one is in Sakya Ras, then his Sakya Ras may include something of parental mood, like Balaram. Balaram is primarily Krishna's friend, elder brother, Sakya Ras. But because he's elder, he has a mood of protection and nourishment. In fact, Mother Yashoda even advises him, listen, you protect Dalji, you protect Krishna from the demons. You're Bala, Balaram. And make sure he takes his prasadam, doesn't forget, becomes so absorbed in playing that he forgets to drink and take his tiffin. So this acting in this capacity to protect and to feed and nourish, that's parental love. These are two primary aspects of a mother and father towards her dependents. So in Sakya Ras may include something about Salya, naturally some mood of service is there. Balaram may provide his leg for Krishna to sleep on, or he may collect some fruits for Krishna. So it's like this. So in Raghunuga Bhakti, the Sakya is explained in this verse. Raghunugan Angatasya Syadri Tvidi Marga Nek Pekshanat Marga Dwanena Chaitena Sadya Sakya Rami Ratirmata. So it's just saying that Sakya Bhakti, the mood of friendship toward the deity, is there both in Vaidhi and Raghunuga Bhakti. It's a process of sadhana. But in sadhana bhakti, Vaidhi sadhana, one just has a mood of friendship, but that may not be his goal. That may be not his final mood of attachment for the Lord. But when one treads the path of Raghunuga Bhakti, Raghunuga is based on Rag. One has attachment for a particular resident of Vrindavan and for a particular mood of loving Krishna. Every time one reads about the Krishna and the Coward Boys, and especially about Sri Dharma Subal, he becomes very inspired, very attracted, and to the exclusion of any other relationship that Krishna has with other devotees. And he becomes very excited about this. And as he goes on in devotion, he starts to feel that this is my position, this is my place, this is where I want to go. This is me. I feel comfortable and natural relating to the Lord as a sukha, as a friend. And these Vrindavan Leelas with Krishna and his friends are too much attractive and absorbing to me. Especially the activities of Subal or Sridham, what I've read, and then I've become very much focused on their bhav, their mood, their sevas to Krishna as friends. So then when he entered, this all, of course, this type of fixity or focus comes in the graduate, let's say, the upper level of sadhana bhakti called raganuga sadhana. And that's the very entrance ticket, you could say, to practicing raganuga bhakti, the one develops rag for a particular resonant. Until that time, everything is non-differentiated, general bhakti, samanya. It's called samanya bhakti. It's quite general. We don't really know what we want, or where we want to end up. We don't really know exactly how we want to serve the Lord. It's not we're not in touch with that aspect of our existence, because there's too many layers of desire and coverings of materiality. But as one becomes purified, as the Atma becomes purified and blessed with good association, then specific forms of attraction, specific attraction awakens in a very specific way. Because attraction for the Lord is inherent in the living entity. So, at the right time, in the right circumstance, then it will manifest and become self-evident to the devotee himself. Yes, this is me. Then he pursues that line. And that's Raganuga Bhakti. Then in the Sakyam, the friendship for the Lord, it becomes not just a friendly feeling or relating to the deity as a friend, but it actually matures into Sakiras. The Sakyam becomes Sakiras or Sakirati. And that jiva ends up being Krishna's coward boyfriend after becoming fully purified. And then he attains prema and Swarup Siddhi. He realizes a particular form within his consciousness and his meditation. Then he leaves his body and appears in Boma Vrindavan, Krishna's Prakat Leela, manifest Leela. And then he continues associating with, he meets face to face Subal, who he's been meditating on. He says, Subal, you're my model, role model. I was meditating you, reading all about you and meditating upon your sevas. Now, I'm happy to meet you. My name is Subal. What do you want to know? I said, well, I can you show me all those caves where you play with Krishna? And can you refine my moods and understanding so that when I'm asked to do similar services, I will be very expert in them? Because it's one thing to learn the art of cooking. You may study the art of cooking by yourself. You get some books on Italian cooking, which is quite attractive to Indian people. They seem to have a penchant for Italian food. So you get all these books on Italian cooking, and you experiment and you practice, and then you watch TV, or some Italian guy has some cooking class on TV, and really immerse yourself in the art of Italian cooking as much as you can on your own. And you even make a few things, and you're pretty much absorbed in it. But not until you take birth in Italy. You take birth in Italy with an Italian family, and you have a Mamma Mia, Italian mother, and you grow up and become a teenager. She says, you want to make pizza and spaghetti and ravioli and pasta. She says, yeah, I have familiarity in my last life. What can you do? Show me. No, not like this. It's like this. This is the original, exact way. So it's something like what happens with sadhana. We meditate, and we're guided by guru, and we get an approximation of the spiritual reality, and we, of course, we can touch some of those spiritual feelings when we attain the level of prema, but we can't go up beyond the realm of prema in this materially constituted body. We have to take birth in a Vastu city, which is in Boma Vrindavan. Then we can get our prema upgraded, because there's 7 levels of prema. So we can attain prema. Baseline prema can be attained in this physical body. So a physical body with a spiritual body realized inside. The iron rod that becomes immersed in the fire takes on the quality of fire, fireized. So our body becomes spiritualized, and we fully identify, yes, this is me, I'm this coward boy, but still I have a materially constituted body. So we can experience a threshold of prema in a materially constituted body. But we enter Vrindavan, Boma Vrindavan, Krishna's having his manifest Leela, then in that particular body, we'll be able to rise beyond Prem to Sneha and Man, Pranaya, and Rag, Anurag. And like, this depends on what sthayibha we have, to what degrees we can rise into experiences of prema. So it's like they have karate, they have black belt one and black belt two, and so prema has different divisions. So it's a long way to go, let's say that. Jiva Goswami, he points out that he's just saying with this whole technical differentiation between sakya, this is sakya matmanavedanam of this limbs of devotion, which apply it. This is all sadhana bhakti. So sadhana bhakti, remember, has two levels. Level one is vaidhi sadhana, level two is raganuga sadhana. And the 64 limbs apply to both. Although some of the limbs won't be strictly followed by a raganuga sadhak. And the way a raganuga sadhak will practice the 64 limbs will vary. You have a slightly different angle. So in this text, Sakyarati, in both paths of vaidhi and raganuga, refer to the fact that those sakya, or intimate friendly feelings for the Lord, is independent of the regulation of scriptures, as is in most cases aroused out of intense longing for serving the Lord in the way of the eternal associates of the Lord, such as his friends. So basically, sakyam, in its truest sense, is an aspect of raganuga bhakti. But still, it's included here because sometimes a beginning devotee can have a very friendly feeling towards the Lord. That's basically what he's trying to say. So this raganuga bhakti is possible for an individual being when an intense longing is aroused in his heart by hearing about the wonderful ways by which the eternal associates of the Lord serve the Lord. So this is the whole basis of how one begins the second level of sadhana bhakti. That's why so much is emphasized on hearing shravanam. Although it says shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam. So of course that depends on how much time we put into it. So this author is just giving some opinion here. So now the next thing is atmanavedanam. So these are part of the nine limbs of devotion, also which are included in the 64. This is called dedication of the self, or self-dedication. He cites a verse here from Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 29:34. Martyo yada tyaktya samasta karma nivedita-tma vishikirshito-me tadamritattvam pratipadyamano mayatma-buddhyaya chakalpate vai. He says that Krishna is telling Uddhav, when a man disassociates himself from all karma, and he gives up all karma, and completely dedicates himself to me, then I desire to give him the highest good and eternal life, and he crosses over the threshold of death and attains a body like mine. For this is self-dedication. Now we're dedicated to so many persons and so many concepts and so many endeavors and engagements. But when we become completely dedicated to Krishna, then Krishna takes charge. It's a natural response. If someone adopts a child, and some child is living in an orphanage, and from a very young age, and somehow when he's five or six, some very kind people come and adopt him, and offer him so much love and care, he'll be so much dedicated to that, to those foster parents, because he feels himself completely sheltered by them, and they become like his everything. And that's the reciprocation that the child will feel towards the parents. But Krishna is the same way. Like people often say, I'm very busy, I have no time for God. So that's from our side, but we can also look from the other viewpoint. When God says, oh, you're very busy, that's okay, I'm also very busy. And you think you're busy with two kids and a wife. How much busy I must be. I have 16,000 wives, and I have 160,000 kids in Dwarka. And that's only my sons. Plus I have 16,108 daughters. So I have 176,000 children. So I'm really busy. So if you're too busy for me, imagine how busy I am. But somehow or other, if we come to the idea that, Krishna, guess what? I'm not busy anymore. I have all day to serve you and hear about you and chant about you and remember you. Acha. Then Krishna is so unlimited that he can squeeze us in there. He can add another plate to the food line. You know, we can be the 177,000th child of God. Because everyone's a child of God. So we can also get in the chow line and eat with Krishna's 176,000 children. We'll also get a little rice and dal every day. He'll tell the cooks to make a little extra. There's another kid on the block. So he'll pay attention to us. He'll provide for us. Yoga kshemam vaham yaham. Ananyas chintiyantamam yejana pariparshate tesham nitya yuktanam yoga kshemam vaham yaham. Krishna preserves what we have and he carries what we lack. So we turn our fate when we become ananya bhaktas. Ananya bhakta. Ananya means there's nobody else. We've exhausted everybody else in the universe. And we've lost our hope and interest in serving anyone else but Krishna, then we become ananya bhakt, ananya chinta. Our thinking, our meditation is all for one. All for one and one for all. So this is Atmanavedanam. Atma means body, mind, and Atma means self also. There's nothing more left than that. So in such a stage of dedication, one gives up all forms of daily earthly duties. Duties that are incumbent upon one because of the particular varna or ashram that he is in. In this stage of Atmanavedanam, the Lord himself desires to give him the highest good, which is bhakti. And of course, bhakti conquers death. One becomes immortal and he attains the position, attains the Lord in his own abode in Vaikuntha. One commentator, Mukunda Das Goswami, states, the one who has attained the stage of complete self-dedication, Atmanavedan, has simultaneously also, obviously, he abstains from doing all wrongs. And he, in other words, he's not, says here, actions or karmas contrary to or showing neglect of the Vedic principles, and also must have given up all earthly responsibilities. In other words, he's totally dedicated to the Lord, and in such a state of absolute dedication, one is free from all the bindings and rituals and rules and regulations of the scriptures, like Diwali, Karva Chaut, Diwali, Karva Chaut, and the other assorted Ganesh Chaturthi and Lakshmi Puja and all these other things people absorb themselves in, and the path of Karmakanda and material improvement. Because every ritual, practically speaking, that's going on in the name of Hinduism is for some type of material benefit. Health of husband, health of children, long life, fortune, prosperity. It's all about material boons in the material world, in physical time. But bhakti is metaphysical. Bhakti is transcendental. Bhakti is from the spiritual world. And activities that are spiritual will take one to the spiritual abode. So there are two different roads to follow, the bhakti marg and karma marg. Sometimes they intersect. But at a certain point, if you want to step out of the material world, then your path must be one unified field. All of our actions must be collected to the one. And that's a gradual process. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen over many lifetimes. We see, if we examine deeply the varnashram system, there are four varnas and there are four ashrams, and Dharma Shastras, they explain that the progress is extremely gradual. We're talking about peeling off hundreds of years here. In Kali Yuga, we're talking about hundreds of years. So in one sense, the process is somewhat accelerated. And Dwapara Yuga and Treta Yuga, we're peeling off 10,000... A lifetime is a 10,000-year peel. 10,000 years is peeled off. And that's one lifetime. So someone might follow the path of yoga, he might pass an entire lifetime, say, in Satyuga. In Satyuga, Vishwamitra was a famous rishi. He spent 40,000 years, which is, let's say 40%, because he lived to be 100,000. So he spent 40% of his life in the Karma Marg, doing Karva Chaut and Diwali, all these cool things that people do, because he was a king. And he had lots of wives, and they wanted him to live a long life because they wanted to get a lot of gold bangles. And so that was important, that he be healthy and live a long life. Karva Chaut. And they did all the rituals. So that was for 40,000 years. So then he stepped out of that karma kanda activity, and then he entered into yoga kanda. He wanted to have more power than Vashishtha Muni, who had Brahma Tejas. So then he embarked on the path of meditation for 60,000 years. And so that was a long lifetime. So it was 60% of his life he spent in meditation, Ashtanga Yoga, Yoga Upasana, to get power, which also is karma. And then his attempt for power was defeated by the most powerful agent in the material world, and that's Maya. And Maya is the most powerful agent. Maya is more powerful than mysticism. So Maya came to him in the form of Menaka, who was one of the courtesans of Indra. So Indra was getting worried that this puny yogi, Vishwamitra, might ascend to Indraloka and kick him out when he attained his mystic powers. So he sent Maya to defeat his mysticism, and it works every time. So Maya came as Menaka and defeated his 60,000-year attempt, and then Shakuntala was born from the combination of Vishwamitra, quote-unquote, Muni. You might say the Muni went loony because of this Maya Shakti. So now that life was kind of down the drain, and then, okay, let's try again. So in the general progression in this Vedic system which guides human life, where the human paradigm is meant to be kind of regulated around the Vedic system, we peel off one birth. In this life, we peel off 100 years if we live that long as a Shudra. And if we are somewhat Vedically regulated as a Shudra, then we get promoted, we get liberation, we become a Vaishya, become very Pukka Gupta, or Pukka Agrawal. Or we may become a very high-class Shudra for 100 years, and then we benefit all. We become a wealthy Shudra, and we benefit all the Shudras. Like these movie stars, they're called wealthy Shudras. They're really nothing but polished rickshawalas. Because a movie star is nothing but a Shudra in the Vedic paradigm. Jugglers, acrobats, magicians, they're all dramatists and dancers, they're all Shudras. But now they're worshipped as demigods. So they're very fabulously wealthy. So sometimes these wealthy Shudras, they try to benefit the lower classes. And it goes on like that. Then Shudra for so many lifetimes, then Vaishya for so many lifetimes, then Kshatriya, then Brahmin. That's if we stay human beings. It's a long road to perfection. Then one may become born in the Brahmin family, then he makes it to Grihastha Ashram, Brahmachari Grihastha. He comes too much attached to his wife, and then again he's born as a Brahmin, but a Brahmani. Then she's really pious and really religious and does all kinds of pujas and all kinds of karva chauts and Diwalis and everything. And then again she becomes a man, she becomes a Brahmin. But this more wise this time and more devotional. And then finally gets to Vanaprast, and then and like this, it goes on and on. It's very, very long. Then sannyas, and maybe falls from sannyas and sannyas again. The whole objective is that one must be Atmanivedanam, completely dedicated to the Lord, no matter what the external position is, whether ashram is grihastha or vanaprast, or whether the varna is shudra. There's plenty of shudras that went back to Godhead. There was plenty of kayasts went back to Godhead and Brahmins. The essential requirement is Atmanivedanam. Everything, body, mind, mano kaya vakya. Vakya words, mano, mind, and kaya, sharira, body, all dedicated, self-dedication to the Lord. So this is what's enjoined here, and this is where one has to go to to attain the spiritual realm. Arto dvidatma shabdasya pandit tairu padyate deya hantas padam kaischen deya kaischen mamat bhavak. The wise have said that the self, the Atman, self-dedication, is of two kinds. Some say that dedication of one's egoism is Atmanivedan, and others say the dedication of one's bodily attachments and of such is that is related to the body's self-dedication. So this is the real Atmanivedanam is giving up your sense of identity, ego. I am Krishna's, I belong to Krishna's. And then someone else, other commentators say it's our attachments, whatever we're attached to, we sacrifice that for the Lord. So there's dedication of the body and dedication of the subtle body. So Atmanivedanam. So this will be discussed. We'll discuss more about this tomorrow, as we're over time. This is a course of the nine limbs of devotion. It ends here. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnusmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanam, Vedanam. So the final thing is Atmanivedanam. So we can see the fullest expression of Atmanivedanam is complete dedication of one's ego, body, and soul to the feet of the Lord. And such people are very, very rare to find. At least we know where we have to go to get where we need to be. We have to go to that plane of Atmanivedanam. So it starts with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Padasevanam.